Yeah.
I don't see a picture on the meeting right now.
Did she get
Think she
off?
might have
Okay,
gotten.
let me. I was positive she introduced our colleague Elizabeth, and maybe she kicked herself off by accident. Okay, well, good evening, everyone. I'm sure others will be joining soon. Before we kick off some of our review of LPP, we have a special treat. We have a colleague of ours and friend. Oh, there you go. Dr. Rothy's back.
She's back.
Dr. Elizabeth Fracha-Allaire, who's going to speak to us about her wonderful Sarah Stone project. Thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us and telling us a little bit of what you're working on. I think it's very germane to all of us as educators.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the LPP meeting. I'm going to take about 60 seconds of your time to talk about this project. I'm a PCP and I'm leader of the Early Clinical Learning Small Groups curriculum, which is our medical interviewing curriculum. And in 2022, under the VISTA curriculum revolution, we updated this curriculum to align our interview model with evidence-based models that were shown to improve outcomes. With this curriculum shift, we sort of doubled down on three communication skills. Agenda setting at the beginning of the interview, emotion, like directly eliciting the emotion and responding to emotion, so emotion seeking skills, and then open-ended skills in the beginning of the interview. We did a great job of teaching this to our learners, but we have a huge faculty and needed to update our faculty on how this curriculum have changed. And so as part of that effort, I created an independent learning module that goes through those three skills. And so the reason I'm talking to you is because as LPPs, our learners are going to show up in your office or on the wards with you, and they may be using these skills, and you may be wondering, like, what's going on? So I'm putting in the chat here the independent learning module. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes, but it's self-paced. You can skip through it. So if there's a part you want to skip, skip right through. There's a 5-question pre-post survey. I'd be so incredibly obliged if you would do that. It's for quality improvement purposes. So if you copy this into your browser and just bookmark it, you'll have it for now and for the future. And that's all I have. So thank you. Thanks for your time.
Right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Appreciate
Thank
it.
you, Elizabeth. I hope I don't have the technology glitch. If anyone has a quick question for Elizabeth before we let her go, or otherwise we could start. Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth, again. Okay. I hope I don't have any more of the technology glitches, just logging myself out. So we'll just welcome everybody. And I'm Apeeksha Tripathi, family medicine. I'm one of the LPP preceptors. So I just love what I do here and so love to share what we have been doing here today. And thank you for being able to make it at this time. And we're end of the day for us, for a lot of us with so many other clinical and other responsibilities to make it to this time. So I really appreciate you all joining. Our agenda today would be just we'll go over the introduction. What is this LPP about? And we'll review the curriculum as to where these learners are in their ECL curriculum, what they've been learning. And so then we can integrate that well with their experiences in LPP. We'll talk about WBAs and some new grading criterias. And then we'll take questions and some discussions about, overall what we have together here. So LPP is broadly divided into three sections. And to com we have to complete about total of 12 sessions, 12 sessions in these three sections. So first six in the two sections, and the remainder six in the th third section.
Now, each section is divided into a fall semester, if you could say, from August to December is one section. So we expect about three sessions to be completed when they start in August to December. And the second section is January to June. Then we expect another three to four sessions to be completed. So by section one and section two, they should have a total of six to seven sessions completed. In the next slide, we have the section three, which runs from August to February of 2027 now. And so they are LPP 2 technically at that time, and then they do remainder of the six sessions. So by February of 2027, they have completed full 12 required sessions for the LPP program. Now, there's a little bit of a gray zone. Like if they are shy of one session, they could catch up in summer. If they're like, they don't have to strictly do three sessions in the fall, they could do four. So a little bit of, there's a flexibility out there. But broadly speaking, these are the landmarks that they have to follow and expectations thereof. So this, the students do give feedbacks for the LPP and, broadly speaking, we get LPP gets very good feedback. This is kind of a high yield program for the students. They really enjoy these sessions, and they always say one like repeatedly and consistently. They say that this is something that introduces them to the clinical settings, what they've been learning in their small groups and didactics. This is like a field practical applications of what they've been learning. So this is something that really excites them. They could it's and it's different it's variety of experiences too, like in primary care settings. Sometimes they're in ER and different settings, so they really could apply what they have learned in the blocks and other learning curriculum. They sometimes also mention a slight delta on the feedback is that if they were oriented to the LPP before, they could go and what to expect. And I sometimes feel, we could tell students, reach out to your LPP preceptors, set up a little 5-minute huddle before you start your session where you could go over how they want to construct that. If they want, have to have you bring your lab coat, bring your stethoscope, how they want to run the session, so it doesn't hurt to have that little bit of a mini orientation before you have your first session with your LPP. So that could, we could take care of that piece there. Everything has areas of growth. That's how we learn and grow better. So sometimes the feedback we get is their difficulty contacting the preceptors and coordinating the schedule. I actually thought this time, I think Anne will correct me, we also get some emails from the preceptors that they're waiting for the students and students haven't reached out. So I guess it could be both ways that, so I don't expect that we should provide our cell phone private numbers for them to be texting, but email is a good way for them to reach out. And it could be both ways. If your student has not contacted you and it's been some time, just let us know, or if the student has contacted but not scheduled a session, we could just let them know, hey, we're waiting. So we could, I think, get around that. But if others have any other ideas how they would best, fix this issue of the preceptors, how to contact them, let us know, or any thoughts around that.
And definitely feel free to let us know, like email the LPP mailbox and say, hey, my student sort of ghosted me. Is there something going on? What we will do with that is contact the student and then contact the student's mentors. And I apologize, I should have introduced myself. I'm Chris McGinnis. I'm one of the co-directors of ECL in this program. And I'm actually one of the co-directors of the LC Mentor program. So we're very much partnering with you and the mentors to kind of work as a team for our students.
Yeah, my bad in the technology glitch. I assume that the introductions have happened. I could have. The other area of growth is that students often mentions preceptor did not give me feedback. I think that what they mean is this is in addition to the WBA feedback, maybe a live feedback when they're there at the session. And then again, we could, either give them during the session or right after the session and or email them. It's completely flexible how they would. I think we're all kind of in a range of, some people write to do the feedback right away, some people write. So that's another thing that was brought up and I thought to share here in the group. That's what the students have been relaying. So it's kind of we can
And
think
I
around
think
that.
it's funny. We're all educators here, so I think what makes me laugh is sometimes we give them feedback and we just don't label it. Like sometimes we have to be very concrete, like, oh, let me give you some feedback about your presentation, or let me give you some feedback about your physical exam. Sometimes we don't utter that phrase. The students don't feel like they receive feedback when in fact we actually have given them feedback. So feel free to be quite direct in, about your feedback and call it that. Like, I'm going to give you some feedback now.
Yeah. So the next couple slides, we'll spend time on the curricular overview. So we are in March, towards the end of March. So right now they're in the NSB, the nervous system and behavior block. So they have completed skin and musculoskeletal system. And now they're learning mostly the neuroanatomy, head and neck anatomy, neurology, pharmacology, pathology, human behavior, and psychiatry. They're also completing the write-ups for the cases. For the physical exams, they are learning to perform neurological exam. They have completed history taking as well as practiced oral presentation. So these are the skills that they have completed by now. In the next couple of months, they would be working on the gastro GI system, where they will be practicing the GI exam and those skills. Currently, so they are in neuro right now, and then going forward to GI, the skills that we just discussed, they have completed. They've also completed review system, which is kind of a lot of series of questions to rule out pertinent negatives, pertinent positives. So they should be, when they're taking history, kind of dive deeper into it. They should be able to give us a good oral presentation with a standard template. And one additional skill that they have now practiced and learned on is problem solving. So they should have some, in their assessment plan, some kind of a broad differential, what they think is going on with the patient, what all is possibility, and how they're kind of ruling in the possibilities, kind of prioritizing this is number one diagnosis, this is number two, this is happening. So a basic clinical reasoning skill should we can expect them at this stage. This stage of their learning curriculum. And again, this is in Vista, we have this integrated module. So they're like learning in different ways. They are also having hospital sessions. So their first hospital session starts in November. And so by March, they have, by and large, most of them have completed three hospital sessions and two more to go this year, which is again a very solid honing of their skills. They're practicing live with the patients in the hospital, mostly so inpatient skills, but again, history taking, oral case presentation. We'll be expecting remainder of the four hospital session in their LPP2 starting from September. So this is that. The next slide is a busy slide, but it kind of sums it out all up for them, like where they are. So if I go towards like purple to green zone, which is March zone, we'll see the students have completed three hospital sessions that began in November. So they have had experience of inpatient exposure to patients and practicing their skills. They have completed the HPI, past medical history, taking family history, taking social history. Currently, we are learning the MI skill, motivational interviewing skills. So they are already getting learning the skills for behavioral change counseling, how to talk about, if there's a patient who has smoking cessation issues or alcohol use disorder. So they are kind of learning all those MI skills. They've also gotten much better, much more comfortable in taking sexual history, case presentations. And they are moving forward in the next few weeks into advanced care planning discussions, taking geriatric history and advanced care planning with the patient with end-of-life issues. So that would be expected in the next few months. Physical exam-wise, they should be able to do, at least observe vitals if it's in, Epic or however they see with, in rooming and intakes. They should be able to do a cardiovascular exam, like, listening to lung sounds, heart sounds. and they should be able to do an abdominal exam and MSK exams. And now this month they're learning the neurological exam. So these are the basic physical examination skills that they've learned in their PD sessions. And so if they're joining in and they offer to do in the physical in our patients at outpatient, that'll be wonderful for them for to practice that. And they now would be learning in next few months HNOT examination to integrate as well. So that's where they kind of stand in terms of where they are and what to expect from them. I think I'll give it to Chris to launch into this, and that'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, and I noticed a typo. Sorry for the typo. For our lovely little diagram, I noticed it said June 2025. Of course, I should have said June 2026. So,
Oh
apologies.
yeah, I didn't even notice that. Thank you for pointing out.
So, work-based assessment. So, we talked about feedback. One of the things we're really trying to use. So, mentors and students have portfolios. So, a collection of all their assessments. Where, as a mentor, I can with my student look at their longitudinal growth. And so this feedback from you is so crucial. It is another touch point I can look at to see if there are any patterns, any struggles the students are having, any areas of growth. So this is really, so helpful when you fill those out. So students will initiate it. This is formative feedback, not summative. You are giving them formative feedback. There is not really a grade other than them intending. And it's based on one observation. So you're usually doing this at the end of your session, whether it be in the hospital, in the clinic, in your office, wherever that setting may be. They really are tucked into the milestone system. So we're trying to see over time that the students achieve the milestones that UMass has set forth in their professional growth. So again, we're looking at why WBA is so valuable and important. They help us again have data points along the way. So in these 18 months, and a lot of you, thank you, have let your students, follow you the whole 18 months. So you see the growth and we appreciate their growth. And this is a way to sort of, measure it using competency-based assessments in the milestone. A lot of times, for you, they can prompt conversation. For the mentors who are going over this, we can kind of, this could be a touch point to have conversations about themes. I will sometimes say to my students, I've noticed that I'm getting some feedback when I review WAs that there's some organizational skills that could use some growth. What are your thoughts? Do you feel like that is an area of growth for you? Or conversely, I noticed that your patient rapport and your organization skills have been, really commented on by multiple faculty and assessors via WBA. That's wonderful. Do you think that's one of your strengths? Or what do you think, is that something that you would agree is a strength point for you? So it really, these help really help our students prompt this growth mindset of what am I doing well? And really, where should I grow? And really sort of supporting that's normalizing. We all need to grow. We all, as physicians, as human beings, are on a longitudinal path of growth. So this really helps support that. Sometimes, again, you feel like, oh, I'm evaluating them. That's very uncomfortable. I don't want to see anything, negative to the student. But that's really the only way we really grow is when we get feedback in the areas we need to grow in. So unlike an SPE where there actually is a grade assigned and, it's a numerical grade and that transforms into another type of grade, this is really formative. Formative, formative, formative. We want to observe you. We want to give you feedback on the fly. And the students are the ones who are initiating it. So they're the ones either sending you the email, which I'll show you in a second to fill these out, or they're having you, they're generating a QR code that you can fill it on the fly. They're pretty quick, like we talked about, milestone based. This is not just an LPP thing. The WBAs occur in the exploration, the clinical phase as well. So the students, and they also give them to in their physical diagnosis and hospital sessions. So WBAs are throughout our curriculum. In this case, and I thank you, I know many of you actually filled this out, but there are only three questions. We like them because we want them to be relevant. We ask you to fill them within 72 hours because, quite honestly, a week later, you may not recall the actual details of the experience with your student. So it's one of those things that really we can probably fill out quickly. Probably three questions could probably take most of us about 5 minutes. I have to say, last year we were at 54%, and we did a magnificent job. Just quickly before I give you the reveal of how well we did last year, This is what you may see in email form. Often your students will send you this. It's from Oasis. You would obviously double click on this. That comes to the three sentence questions, and then you submit it. So it's actually pretty straightforward and easy. But I wanted to share your success. I was amazed. So we just ran the numbers just last week, and our wonderful group of LPP residents, faculty, fellows have generated. Last year we were 54%. This year we're currently at 74%, which is outstanding. So we wanted to give you sort of a round of applause and really thank you for, doing this work. It really, you are leading. I think you are doing, I was teasing some of our colleagues. Anne is our wonderful admin. I was telling them, I think you're doing much better than the mentors. We're going to pull their stats, but I was very impressed by this 20% improvement. And I think, the students really gain from your feedback. It's really helpful. It's really help allowing them to sort of be thoughtful in their own self-assessment. So we do have a change, and just so you're aware of it, it doesn't, in terms of I really, your important task is filling out the WBAs when you receive them. The students, though, it was a little bit of the Wild West. We didn't track, it was challenging to track whether the students came to and fulfilled their 12 LPP requirements in the 18 months. So we have adopted a little bit of a system to give the LPP the seriousness it deserves. So what does that mean? So we said that we want the students to have six LPPs completed by the end of the first year. For our purposes, that is August 15th before the new academic year. If they don't, they're going to get an incomplete in their GI. So we're really taking this seriously. We value what you do, your work with them, and how important this experience is to their clinical learning. It really is a way for them to really practice all their skills and get amazing feedback from faculty. Again, similarly, if they don't finish the 12 by January 31st of the subsequent year, then they'll get an incomplete in GYN repro. That actually has a consequence. Not only will they not go to exploration, which is a big consequence, you can't carry more than two incompletes in our curriculum without taking a pause. So we're definitely putting a little more teeth. The students are very well aware of that. You may have gotten some panicked emails, as some of us did when this policy came out, like, oh, we have to, please let me get in clinic, or please let me get in the hospital, or, as soon as I can. That may be a direct result of this, information that we made sure our students were aware of our policy change in the last few weeks. We do realize, and feel free, sometimes our students can get a tad unrealistic with, oh, I'm only available these 3 days, in the next month, and you don't have clinic these 3 days. The students know that they need to also work around your schedule. If there truly is no incompatibility, like you only work Fridays and the student is never available, then we probably should, look at another pairing. But often the students are a tad unrealistic. It is okay for students to go with you in the evening. It is okay if you work weekends. If you're a hospitalist and you round on the weekend, it is most certainly okay for you to have them come and a shift with you on a Saturday. Many of our EM colleagues have our students come in 4 hours in the late evening. I think these are all valuable experiences. So our students, again, this is not a, medicine is not 9 to 5, so off times are certainly acceptable. And by no means, we sometimes put in the schedule on a Wednesday. By no means does it have to be a Wednesday, and the students are very well aware of that. So we wanted to just end with some commonly, just review some common questions. A lot of you are veterans, so a lot of you already know the answers to these questions, but we wanted to just kind of quickly go over them and then leave a few minutes just if you have any thoughts. Again, I saw the list, and a lot of folks are veterans here, but anything that comes up, any questions you might have, we wanted to leave some time at the end. So I think we all sort of get the sense that a session is roughly 4 hours, 8 to 12, but it's a time increment of your practice. So if you're an EM doctor, and the student wants to stay 6 hours, then that's the session. But in outpatient world, usually in outpatient medicine, it's sort of like 8 to 12, 1 to 4, that sort of thing. That would be considered a session. If you're available and you're willing, the students can certainly work with you over the summer. Again, that's up to you and the students to sort of figure out what the best way for that to happen is, but that's certainly a lot of the students are here. They're doing research. They're, you know, they're having other projects. So they love to sometimes get some of the LPP sessions done in the summertime. And then honestly, they can just focus on that, which is it's a good thing for sure. Like we mentioned, if your student, you're like, oh, they were so enthusiastic, they did one session and it's been a few months. They haven't, you know, we don't expect you to email them and say, where are you? But certainly if you wouldn't mind letting us know, like, oh, my student Tom did not actually, you know, he came once and it's been 3 months and he hasn't come anymore. Just want to let you know, that would be very helpful. Sometimes the students, and we apologize, occasionally the student has, for whatever reason, has a leave of absence. We try our best to let you know that, but occasionally, if we forget, please, you know, let us know. Oh, we haven't, you know, seen our student, and we can make sure we close the loop. Like we mentioned, the student should be sending you WBAs. We're trying to remind them to do that, but feel free to say, "Oh, are you supposed to send me a WBA?" The more reminders they get, the better. But we mentors, we faculty, you know, as leaders of LPP, are trying to definitely remind our students that they need to initiate these WBAs. Occasionally, students have a change of circumstance where they you're say at a little bit farther site and they need a car. Students are supposed to have cars, but their car, say they get in an accident, it's not available. Occasionally they'll have a request or they'll say, oh, I can I get a LPP preceptor that's closer to where I live in Worcester. We really do that on a case-by-case basis. We really want our students to really work on their, you know, their preceptor as assigned. Same token, if for some reason life circumstances come up and you can't have a student anymore for whatever reason, please let us know. And again, we certainly understand that life can happen and we will, you know, reach out and reassign the students, but it would be helpful to have that open communication. And I just wanted to take a minute. Any other questions and just any other thoughts from those who've been doing this for a little while about how to get those students to make sure that they have the best experience they can with you and your clinic or your hospital site or wherever you may be guiding students. And certainly we wanted to, once again, I mean, I know that we all, Apisha and I know that you're not doing this for the big bucks. This is work that you are very passionate about. You are really, you know, wanting to work the next generation of physicians, and it's really exciting to do that. And we are so grateful because you really are offering them a very unique experience where they can really practice these fundamental skills in different settings, and that's really so valuable. And we are so grateful for you and your you know, participation in this important program.
I completely echo Chris's thoughts. Thank you, all of you. We'll take any questions. We can stick around for another couple of minutes.
And this slide will be on our website. I know many of you know we have a website, but the slide deck will be on the website. And feel free to reach out afterwards. We know it's late in the day and folks are tired. So if anything comes up, please feel free to email the LPP box, email Dr. Prathi and I individually, you know, with questions, concerns, comments. If you come up, you think of something later on, we're always available.
Yeah. And the recording of this meeting would be in our website too for you to later access, you know. So,
Thank you.
great. Thank you very much.
thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night.